السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
الله يوسف، how are you؟
الحمد لله بخير.
Okay, we can go on, Abi.
نعم يا شيخ.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Our classes here are on the book by Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And bi-iznillah, I am thinking that today we should rather have a question and answer session, because for the past few classes, many of the classes would end up while we have questions that our brothers have asked and perhaps the women have asked. So if bi-iznillah we have questions with you, Abu Yusuf, you can go on trying to give answers to these questions as far as Allah would permit. Our last discussions were upon avoiding su'uban, being sure that we don't think evil about Muslims. Su'uban, thinking evil about people, or even thinking evil about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is from the sins that are very, very seriously frowned at. Thinking evil about Allah can even lead the individual to very, very evil ends. And of course, kufur can easily come from that, disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah protect all of us from that. So su'udhan with Allah is something that is also very, very strongly from that Sharia. And it can come from when the individual easily thinks evil about things and about the preordainment of Allah. He begins to say things that are evil regarding Allah, and he would never hope regarding Allah except evil. May Allah protect us. So su'udhan is prohibited in Islam. That is, being suspicious that this Muslim was doing this person is upon an evil, when we don't have any reason to think like that, to think that and imagine that a person should not be trusted when he has no reason not to be trusted. We read the verses of the Quran. Allah says, Ya you alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhanni, O you who believe, avoid much of suspicion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the hadith that was corrected by al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Imam Muslim rahimahullah, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, that iyyakum wa dhann, be careful, avoid adhann. Says fa'inna adhanna akzabul hadith, because dhann, thinking evil about people, suspecting the people, is akzabul hadith. It is from the most untruthful of things, the most of untruthful. He has no reason why you should think of him upon evil, but you go on to think about that individual upon evil. If it were from the people of evil, this is something else. That's why one of the ulama say that su'udhan huwa an yudhanna bi ahli al-khayri su'an, is that the people should think evil, suspect, think that the people of goodness should not be trusted. Fa'amma ahli su'i wal-fisq, as for the people of evil and sinfulness, فَلَنَا أَنَّ ظُنَّ بِهِ مِثْلَ الَّذِي ظَهَرَ مِنْهُمْ, like we read yesterday. Yes, we have a right to think of what we know them of. If we know somebody to be dubious, yes, you can think of him to be dubious in a statement or in an action. But if you don't know him to be dubious, don't think of him to be dubious. If you don't know him to be ambiguous, don't think of him to be ambiguous. We relate with the people upon the basic rulings that we know them of. And that's why when a person unfortunately thinks evil about the next person, he begins to find a way to justify that thinking. He begins to find a way he had regarding his brother. That will lead him to spying that brother. It will lead him to start spying the sister, start checking, start looking, start finding out, start doing this. So in the Quran, Allah followed the prohibition not to think and suspect evil regarding the rest of your brothers. Allah followed it with wala tajassasu. Don't spy. Don't go and spy. Don't spy. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So what is compulsory for us is to have husnul zanni billah, to think well of Allah. This is compulsory on us. To think well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even what we consider as the worst of our situation would in the end become something for which we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we had had the knowledge from the very beginning. Unfortunately, people are not usually patient enough to see what comes out of a trial that Allah brings them in. Remember that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in a well. Nabi Yusuf came out of the well, he was sold into slavery. He came out of slavery and he became a king. All of his being thrown in a well, his missing his father, his mother, and all of that, were upon the path of goodness. The same thing, something similar to that happened to Salman al-Farisi. Upon his journey to meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he trusted people and he was sold into slavery. Fortunately, he was being sold to people who will take him to where the Prophet was, alayhi salatu wa salam. So thinking well of Allah, even in difficult situations, is something that is compulsory for us. May Allah make it easy for us. Likewise, thinking well of your brother. Think well of your brother. Don't take somebody as a friend if he is from the people of his council. Don't make a friend with somebody who is evil, essentially. So if you make a friend with someone who is evil, essentially, basically an evil person, a sinful person, it will make you be to think evil of him at all times. And then all the entirety of your thoughts will be about that someone wants to cheat you, someone wants to bring you evil, someone wants to do this. This can lead the mind to think evil about people who are not evil themselves, and that is sin. Avoid people who will make you suspect them and make you think about their dishonesty and their ambiguity. Avoid them ab initio. Avoid them for the sake of Allah. And that's why we are commanded in the Quran. This is very common in the Quran. Ma'iyatu sadiqin, being with the people of truthfulness and honesty. Of course, one of the major benefits in that is that you also will gain from their truthfulness and from their honesty. So bismillah, this is one area of the issues we discussed yesterday. The other area regarding that is that take precautions. As well as the Sharia prohibits you from thinking evil about people and suspecting them, take precautions that will not make this evil thinking to come up. Take precautions. So that's why the early Muslims, the companions, radiallahu anhum, they counted what they gave to their servants so that they are not tempted, the servants are not tempted to want to cheat, and they are not tempted to want to have evil suspicion. So it means we can take precautions to make us avoid being evil in our thinking regarding people. You want to deal with somebody, be open with it. If you want to give him something, count it. Be sure that it is counted so that it does not lead you to evil thinking. Take precautions when you relate with people so that not taking precautions does not now bring you to thinking evil about the people. Take precautions so that you don't have to think evil about people regarding whom we should not think evil about. May Almighty Allah make us understand that hadith, or those hadith of Abu Aliya, the Tabi'i radiyallahu, that we read yesterday, Rufay ibn Mihram, the hadith of Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu. I think that we can go on to take a few questions that we would have sent in now, even in love. Abu Yusuf, can we go on taking a few questions?
Please, can one control his heart in regards to thinking evil about or spying his fellow Muslim or brother? How can one control his heart?
How we control ourselves regarding suspicion. If something comes to your mind, if it occurs to you, it is something you cannot control. If something occurs to you, you find it hard to control. It's a thought that came up your mind. But what you can control is giving support to that thinking. This is where committing a sin comes in. Someone carries a pot, and it comes to your mind that that pot is containing, or someone carries a kettle, it comes to your mind that that thing is containing alcohol. This, it can occur to your mind. Now, giving support to that thinking is something that you can control. You can put away that thinking, make it the other, set it off your mind. More so, you don't have any reason to think that one who starts carried a kettle, and in that kettle was alcohol. This is someone who is far away from alcohol. So this kind of a balanced thinking will help you set away that initial occurrence of the thinking in your mind that the shaitan has brought. So remove it from your mind. Mention the things, recall the things that will help you understand, that will help you take a view that this person could not have had alcohol in a kettle. But when you now say, oh, this person has an alcohol in the kettle, and then you begin to say, yes, it's possible. Some people who take alcohol, pour alcohol in a kettle. Some people who disguise to take, and then you begin to support that thinking that you are falling into suhuzan regarding your brother. The first occurrence of that suggestion in the mind may be hard to control. And it is actually a difficult thing. The second aspect of supporting and giving vent to that thinking is something that you can control. You can control it with your intellect. You can control it with your basic knowing of that person. This person is not known for this kind of a thing. This is the time of solar. So if he has a kettle with him, the most likely thing he has in the kettle is that he wants to make wudu. This person is a person of righteousness. And all of this, you start bringing of things that are positive in your mind regarding that person. It will help you push away that evil thinking. But now when you give support to it and you start adducing reasons why you have to think that he has alcohol in a kettle at the time of Salah, then this kind of a thinking is far, far evil. And worse than that is to now ask him, brother, is it alcohol you have in your kettle? That is from the worst of things that you can do. Or that you begin to behave in such a way as if you actually have any evidence to prove that what he has in a kettle is alcohol. So in the mind, you can put it off. When you put that initial suggestion that is hard to control, when you put it off, that there's no problem regarding that. But when you give support to that negative thinking regarding your brother, then that's a problem. Then that's a problem. Not to say, now talk about it. Not to say, now ask him about it. You think evil about the individual so much that you have to ask him about it. This is bad. This is very, very, very bad. It is nothing from, except from the ways of Shaitan. He starts by giving people suggestions. And by the time you know it, people begin to speak disbelief. Shaitan does that. So don't give support to these negative suggestions of Shaitan that are baseless. They are baseless. Yeah, business. May Allah protect us from this thinking. It is very, very common now. It is very common now. It is very common now amongst the men and women, husbands and wives. It is very common now amongst parents, between the parents and the child. It is very common now amongst two friends, two good brothers who relate. By the time you know it, one of them begins to suspect the next person. Is he cheating me? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? Shaitan starts with those suggestions. If the brother made a statement that makes you feel anyhow, ask him about the statement. You made the statement. What does it mean? You said this. What does it mean? You mentioned this, like this. Ask him what he means. Seek clarifications. Ask him so that you protect yourself from evil thinking. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Sometimes some people's sense of having a right over people, they think they have a control over what people should do or what people should say. Every individual has a right about what he does and what he says. Take for example, someone walks on the street, you go and start asking, what are you looking for here? Maybe he goes there to fulfill his need. If he does not tell you, you don't need to start asking him, why have you come here? What is your reason for coming here? What is your reason for having to? You don't have to ask him that. He has a right. More so, he has not done anything in the circumstance to warrant your evil thinking. Unfortunately, these kinds of things are very, very common with people. If it is something that he said or that he did that can make you think evil of him, ask him. Perhaps he has an explanation that you don't know. Unfortunately, some of the people think that they are so emotionally intelligent. I usually think that it can even be referred to as emotional unintelligence. You think that from your emotional intelligence, you can think that the person intends evil. So your emotional intelligence leads you to understand his mind. I think this is being too far with what you people ascribe to themselves in terms of intelligence or brilliance. Don't think evil of your brother. If you think evil of him so much that you have to say something regarding that or behave in such a way to show that you hold him in suspicion, then that's unfortunate. You'll be violating a lot of verses in the Quran. You'll be violating a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The other side of the response is that nobody should behave in such a way that he held in suspect to. Mind what you say and mind your actions so that you don't say something that will be interpreted to mean what you don't mean. Don't say something or do something that will be giving interpretations different from what you say or what you actually mean or what you actually have done. You too should avoid the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We know this hadith is a very, very popular hadith. It occurs in Sahih Muslim when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam spoke to one of his wives outside the masjid. The companion saw them and ran away. This is the messenger of Allah talking to a woman outside. So he ran away. He had to be called back. The messenger alayhi salatu wasalam called him back, come back. Look, this is my wife. This is my wife. Because Shaitan begins to now tell the man, oh, the messenger was talking to a lady, the messenger was doing this, the messenger was doing this. So as much as people should avoid suspecting others and being unnecessarily evil in their thoughts regarding their brothers, brothers should not also do things that will make the people think evil of them. And when someone does something that may have an interpretation of evil, we all should have the big mind to be able to ask questions. Ask him, I saw you do so and so and so. What do you mean? And when you ask him with a mind that you seek clarification, not in the question of accusations, not in a question of accusation, but a question by which you seek clarification. There are differences between the two, and we all know. Don't ask him in a manner of accusing him. ask him in the manner of asking for clarification. I think these are general rules regarding issues of suspicion. Don't suspect people. People should not also behave in such a way that the people will suspect them. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, وَكُلِّ عِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّذِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ هُوَ أَقْوَمُ أَوْ هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. Say to my slaves, let them say things that are clear-cut. In Al-Ahzab, it says, وَكُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Make statements that are clear, straightforward, unambiguous. When you speak to the people, try to be as clear as you can be for the sake of Allah, so that your statements are not misunderstood. Because إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَوْ بَيْنَكُمْ. Shaitan will be giving suggestions to you, your brothers, regarding what you have said. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا. Because Shaitan is an avowed enemy to mankind. So when you talk to your brothers, when you relate with your sisters, say what is clear, big statements that are clear, so that you are not misunderstood, so that Shaitan does not bring evil interpretations in the minds of your listeners. May Allah protect all of us. And when we hear somebody say something that may have meaning, ask him. Don't allow Shaitan to make you become an enemy of your brother. I think this will suffice regarding suspicion and the like of it. Abba Yusuf. Now, well, there's a question here. I hope that we can hear me. What do you advise about brothers who post rumors and lies about people in constituted authority? This is also wrong. You shouldn't tell a lie in the first place. You shouldn't tell a lie. Don't tell a lie. These are from the evils of the politics that people play today and administration. Lying itself, telling lies, and spreading lies is now seen as something that is trivial. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. In a verse of the Quran, he says, "Qutil al-kharrasun." May death be upon al-kharrasun, those who lie, liars. So liars are not people who have any kind of praise in our religion. Lying is something that the individual must avoid, because lying itself, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, it leads the individual to fujur, to criminality. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. And being criminal in our day-to-day activities, it will definitely bring the individual into the fire. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So if you wouldn't lie about a Muslim ordinarily, why would you lie about constituted authority, people that the Sharia has commanded us to obey after giving obedience to Allah and then giving obedience to the Messenger? He commanded us to obey our rulers, our leaders. And those are two groups of people, the scholars and the rulers. Obey your scholars, obey your rulers, respect your scholars, respect your rulers. There are a lot of asar that when these two people are disrespected in the society and in the community, then evil will spread. Unfortunately, people spread evil about the scholars, people spread evil about the rulers. And that is not lawful in Islam. It is not lawful at all in Islam, spreading evil about the rulers, especially to bring them down. One of the companions, if I remember, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, is authentically reported to have said that من أهان سلطان الله في الأرض أهانه الله. من أهان سلطان الله في الأرض أهانه الله. Those who bring down and disgrace constituted authority, سلطان الله في الأرض. Those that Allah has given authority on the earth, Allah gave them authority. Authority is never taken by anybody. It is Allah who gives authority. Whoever would disgrace, embarrass, cast aspersions at constituted authority, his companion said, radiallahu anhu ahanahullah, Allah will disgrace him. And he could not have been saying that from a juristic reasoning. A companion would not say that from juristic reasoning. He would not say, man ahana sultanullahi fil ardi ahanahullah. Whoever disgraces Allah's authority, those that Allah has given authority on earth, Allah will disgrace him. He could not have been saying that from juristic reasoning. So if people spread evil about constituted authority, if they are not careful, Allah makes them end up as disgraced people too. So avoid it. Avoid spreading evil regarding the people in constituted authority. Avoid it. And avoid those who do it. Avoid spreading evil about constituted authority and avoid those who do it. These are part of the evils, like we mentioned, in politics people play. One party will be said to be the ruling party, and all others that are not in that ruling party, they never see any good in what the ruling party does. If it were the other party too that is ruling, the other party too never sees any good in what it does. In fact, they strive to bring down themselves. These are from the evils of the democracy that the people have practiced and are still practicing. It is evil. People never see goodness in what people do. Even when it is good, negative interpretations are given to them. Are these also done for the sake of Allah? So for the sake of Allah, avoid spreading evil about constituted authority. Constituted authority are not a people to be disgraced. They are people to be respected. When they commit mistakes, just like you can also commit mistakes in your home, where you are the authority, where you are the constituted authority. When constituted authority commits mistakes, there is a position the Sharia has about how to correct them, direct the corrections to the appropriate person, because it's an act of worship too. It is nasiha, the wulat al-umur, direct it in the appropriate person. But to come in the public, whether on the mimbar, as we have heard, recently we saw an imam on the mimbar, abusing and speaking evil about specifically the president of the country. This is not from the art, this is not from the way of Islam. It's not from the way of Islam. If you want to advise the ruler as an act of worship, you write him, or you give the advice to people who are near him, or you seek to meet him. If you meet him face to face, people quote the hadith that from the biggest of the jihad is qawlul haqq inda sultanin ja'irin, as to say the truth to an oppressive leader. I hope that they understand Arabic language to know that there is a verb there that is makani. It says inda sultanin, when you are with him, when you get close to the sultan. That is what that hadith is saying. It is not saying that you stay on your mimbar, wherever you may be, and you begin to send words of abuse and insults to your leader. This is not part of the adab of Islam with leaders. And it is not from the aspects of nasiha. It's not from the aspects of nasiha. It is not from the aspects of nasiha to waliyul amr. If you want to give nasiha to the leaders, there is a way the Sharia has taught us to do that. Follow it so that you gain the reward. But if it is just that you want to vent your anger and follow your emotions, then that's something else altogether. And you will be rewarded for what you have intended. But if it is that you want to worship Allah by advising constituted authority, there is a way the Sharia has taught you to do that. And I think that should be followed, and Allahu A'lam. I think that we can go on with the rest of the questions. If we have them now, Abu Yusuf.
Jazakumullah khairan ya Sheikh.
Ameen wa antum.
Can following up with someone sent to seek knowledge to be sure he or she is attending in this category?
Can we do what?
Can following up with someone sent to seek knowledge to be sure he or she is attending in the category, in this category? I mean, thinking of a Muslim. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I can hear you now, Abu Yusuf.
Can following up with someone sent to seek knowledge to be sure he or she is attending in this category? Category of people thinking evil of someone.
I think we can go on with the questions that I can see here. Someone said concerning the treatment of maids, how do we reconcile between what we learned yesterday about regarding monitoring them and hadith? Well, monitoring must have limits. Monitoring must have limits, otherwise it ends up becoming spying. There's usually a thin line between being careful in these matters and actually spying against the rest of the people. But before we go to that, there's a basic rule. Many times people who employ maids and cooks, they don't verify the personality of the people they bring to the house. Women, when you need maids, when you need cooks, help us at home, try to be sure about who are they. These days, they just bring somebody to you. As long as they can do the work, then that's all. These things are very dangerous. We have heard lots regarding things like this. Verify the persons. Who are they? Where are they? Who are their parents? Do they pray? Do they? And all of these. We had read a hadith where the Prophet was going to give a slave to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he told him, As-salam, لا تضربه فإنه من أهل الصلاة. Do not beat this slave because he is from the people of Salah. And he said, alayhi salatu salam, that he had seen him observing the Salah. I saw him observing the Salah since he came. So don't beat him. رأيته يصلي. Since we arrived, I saw this man praying. Also in a hadith that we shall come to in this book, one of the companions wanted to select a slave. And he told the Prophet, select for me. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, select this one. The annahu yusalli. He prays. So this is, you want to get a slave. You must know who is the slave. Likewise, you want to get a servant. You want to get a cook. You want to get a driver. You want to get care of your children, and you don't care who that person is. So it will now, when you don't care, it will lead you to spying that person in the name of monitoring the person. When you are sure who you have, you know the person's mother, you know the father, you know the child, what behavior, where is he from, and all of this, then you know the level of reliance. It will not be. They go overboard about the issues of monitoring. So, but when people ask who they bring into their homes, then this is trouble. You are careless about who your driver is. Your own times, You are careless about who your security personnel are. You are careless. You are careless about your cook. Then that is itself dangerous. So in trying to help you begin to resort to things that you shouldn't resort to, if you place the camera to a place where your maid or cook is, and then she undresses herself there, how do you feel watching that? How do you feel watching the video? May Allah protect all of us. So the first and the foremost, be sure who you are bringing into your house. Be sure about the personality. How about the ruling of filming and videoing itself? Is it allowed? Because some of the scholars have been asked, like Sheikh Saleh Fawzan was asked the same question. He was even addressing the matter from the unlawfulness of filming these kinds of things. How do you like to film? There's no darura there. Darura is an existing there necessity and difficulty. So the first thing is who you are bringing into your house. When you know the person you are bringing into your house, then you take appropriate precautions. And that's why women should pay more attention to staying at home. Many times women in their homes for reasons that are not pressing. And then they resort into these kinds of things to solve problems that will arise because of their leaving the home. A man can take care of his wife, take care of her needs and all of these. Yes, the woman will still go out of the home in the name of Sharia. Then she will leave her children to people she does not know. She will leave her children to fasiqat and all of these. Some of the children may be bewitched. Some of the children may be given poison. Their mother wants career out of home. So she wants to solve a problem citing darura, the circumstance of darura. So let us not selectively apply Sharia. Firstly, know who you bring into the home. Secondly, the woman should stay at home. Home is her place. Allah says, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Stay in your home. This is the women. Now, if you want to go out, if you have reasons to go out, the ulama counted them. Evidences for them. What are those pressing needs that will take a woman out of her house? So Allah, let us reorganize our home. Women, stay at home. Stay at home. The cooks and maids, and you are at home. Be sure who you are taking. So largely, 70% of your worries are resolved. Then you will not need to start setting cameras in the house. Nothing to start setting cameras at home. If you set security cameras outside living home, then something else. But inside the living rooms, things that are healthy at all. Be sure to know the personality of the people that you are bringing in. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Abu Yusuf, do we still have questions from you? Can following up with someone sent to seek knowledge to be sure he or she is attending class? Yes, you can. What does follow up mean? Well, it's about asking the teachers in the school, is so-and-so boy coming to learn, or is so-and-so girl attending classes and all of those. That is not blameworthy, inshallah. But if it's about monitoring the person, setting up cameras and all of these by way of exposing the faults of that person, particularly if the person is an adult, then that is not appropriate. But if it's about asking the people, finding out, is the person attending the class, how is the person doing, and all of these, so that you want to advise the person or you want to be upon the person's neck to be sure that the person is attending classes and not keeping to bad companies and all of these, then that is okay. But just for the purpose of spying upon the persons, I think I would mention it at the beginning. There's usually a thin line between spying and caution. And this thin line should be recognized and avoided. What is your advice on TV in our homes, especially as regards our children? Take TVs out of your home. From the angle of the lawfulness of issues of photography and television, that's one aspect. As an individual, I have a view that is not lawful. But then from the aspect of what the TV itself shows to children, the bulk of what the children will view from these TVs are also unlawful. And if the bulk of a thing is unlawful, it will take the ruling of unlawfulness. Allahu Alam, take TVs out of your homes. Even the people, non-Muslims in the Western world, have said this and written a lot about TVs, the evils of TVs. Take TVs out of your home. May Allah protect us all. Subhanallah. Someone is talking about pornography and masturbation. I know they are sinful acts and I have tried hard to stop them for years. How can I overcome this? May Allah remove this person, male or female, from this evil. May Allah remove this person, male or female, from evil. May Allah remove this person, male or female, from evil and rectify the rest of us too. One of the things you need to do is reduce your presence in the social media. If you have friends who are upon these kinds of things, avoid those friends completely. If you are in a location that when you are there, this thinking about this evil that you have mentioned comes to your mind, avoid the location. If it is that you use an Android phone or an app or something that makes you have access to these things, stop them. Get phones that from which you cannot use, you cannot employ to have access to these things. Block every access to them. Regret what had gone in the past. Be determined never to go back to them and be filled with a lot of good deeds while asking Allah for forgiveness. We beg Allah to help this brother or sister get out of this evil. Now, I have athlete foot. It's fungal infection. If I touch it, it may spread to other parts. What's your advice about washing the toes? And you may not insert the finger into that. You may not insert the finger into that, especially when water gets to it. It increases, it worsens it, and it can spread to other parts of the body. So you can avoid getting water to that affected area. Just within that affected area, perhaps if it's possible that you rub over it, or if it's not possible that you have to get your fingers into that area, you may leave that part. That's getting the finger and water into that affected area. Allahu Alam, because it will worsen that truly. My son was born at 30 weeks. I was not allowed to handle him and he's still in the incubator. Can I still do the sunnah at the time he's brought out of it, the sunnah of tahniq? Yes, you can. Because that is the time that you're able to do it. I think he means the sunnah of tahniq. Is it allowed to limit the number of children one wants to give birth to because of fear? No, it is not allowed. If it is for the fear of poverty, that's not lawful. If the woman has health challenges that are verified, that's known. But to the limits in the fear that how do I begin to get money to take care of this? Allah assured us not to worry. While the Sharia also encourages us and obligates us to seek lawful means of sustenance. So seek lawful means of sustenance while you also seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know if Abu Yusuf has questions with him. Abu Yusuf, you still have questions with you? Hello, Assalamu alaikum, Abu Yusuf. There's a question here. What is the ruling regarding someone who observes Qiyam al-Layl in the room once while the wife was lying down undressed? It does not affect your qiyamul layl. It does not affect your qiyamul layl. The condition to be dressed is regarding the individual who is observing the salah. Can the imam delay ruku' because someone is about to join the salah? Yes, the imam can delay ruku' because someone is about to. Yes, the imam can delay the ruku' because someone is about to join the salah. He can delay the ruku'.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Abu Amir.
So I think Abu Yusuf has network issues.
Yeah, please go on. There's a question here, Abu Amir, and the like of it came up repeatedly. When a husband believes that his finances have gone bad when he or since he got married to a woman, what advice can we give this brother? I think this is from the aspects of thinking negative about women and marriage. It is something that is common. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we shall come back to that hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He said people take evil thinking from three things, from a home, from a wife, and from a ride. People do that a lot. People take evil thinking from a wife. They would say, oh, the wife, since the time they got married, then they stopped making success. Or a home, people can say, since they moved place to another place, their successes have dwindled. Or from a man can say, since he took a car, a particular car, his success has come down, dwindled, fallen. These three things the Messenger alayhi salam made us understand that people take negative thinking, evil omen regarding it is not correct. Because those things do not actually cause those things, do not actually bring about dwindling fortune. Why? Because these things are in the hands of Allah. Success, failure, wealth, having wealth, having children, not having children, they come from Allah. But because these are usually big in our minds, we employ them to date and note what happens to us. That's all. Otherwise, these things themselves, women, marriage, car or horse do not have anything to do with our preordainment. So what then should the person do? The person firstly should understand that these things themselves influence or bring about negative fortunes at all. They do good and evil from the things that Allah has made in creation. What we want happened to us. This is from the preordainment of Allah. When what we don't want that we call evil happens to us, we know that this is what Allah has also ordained. We are all good, but with respect to us, we see them as good or bad. So we have to accept them all. That these things are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first thing. The individual should reorganize. Your wife does not bring about evil. There is evil there with itself. If she has brought risk, because Allah will place a risk with you. So you have a risk when you marry. So it's not about dwindling fortunes. So she's not the cause of your dwindling fortunes. Neither would your staying in a house be that. Neither would buying a car or a ride be a means of that to you. No, these things are blessings in themselves. What alayhi salatu wasalam, who told us
that from the symbols of the success of an individual is that he has a righteous wife. So if you have a righteous wife, and then your fortunes financially you are not doing well, isn't it that your righteous wife is a symbol of being fortunate for you? Strive evil to that favor of Allah. Isn't it that a spacious home from the means of Allah's love for that individual, success for that individual? Why then do you ascribe that as the Sharia makes you understand that it is success? Why do you ascribe your drinking fortune finances to it? The same thing, your wife. Oh, and then you're right. These are favors from Allah. They are from the symbols of the success of an individual. So don't ascribe negatives to them. Because if anything, they are means of goodness, of Allah's favor upon you. How many people have been trying to marry a woman they can't find a wife? How many people have been finding homes to keep their heads under it? They can't find one. How on their feet everywhere they go to because they can't find a right? So when Allah provides you any of this, you should see from Allah, but Shaitan will be bringing to your mind that it is rather a means of evil, because if you have had woman, if you have not packed into that house, if you have not bought that ride for which you think you are dwindling, your fortune will still dwindle because the time for coming down of the finances is preordained. It only coincided with the time that you have married the woman. So it is not lawful in the Sharia. Now, if the individual is so low in faith, his deen is so low, he thinks that it was because he lived in a particular house, that was why he had many children, his businesses got up and all of that. Now, since he came to this, his businesses have been falling, and then he's battling with, I think that the house is the problem. Go back to the that you live. Why? It will help you think positive about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not bring you to your thinking, your thoughts about him. It will not bring it to trial. You can leave the second house where you think that the fortunes are dwindling and come back to where you think that it is because of that house. Change that. I think that when you have it, when you are there, Allah brought goodness to you. So then Allah gave to a companion who came to say that, oh, when we lived in this house, we were many. Because in this book, Allah, we are coming back to them, inshallah. But when we moved from this house to another house, so children were dying and all of this, go back to the first house. Because you think that it is the second house, so it will help you think positive about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is that these things are not the causes of finances coming down or finances going. These things are very, this problem is very serious in our community now. I know cases, a husband who thinks that it is his wife that does not make him become rich. A wife who would think that the husband is the one, and all of these. For the sake of Allah, let us reorganize and know that Allah is the one who enriches whom He wills, that He wills. He is the one who also reduces the wealth of people when He really extends out to the limits that He wills. All of these things are in the hands of Allah. Let us make good efforts towards what will bring benefit to us and not be lazy while relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think this is advice that I will have these in life for such a couple. Allahu a'lam.
Ameen
Abba Amir. Sorry, there's a
I have three questions. Go ahead.
Abu Amir, will you allow me to take this question? It's attractive. And I think it's very
right.
Can I put Dettol in my ablution water? No, don't put Dettol in your ablution water. The water for ablution should be tahur. It should be pure and purifying. The water should be pure and it can purify something. When it is pure, it must have three things. Its smell and its taste and its color should not have changed. The color, the taste, and the smell of the water should not change. This is the water you can use for ablution. Once you place Dettol in it, because Dettol is not najis, the water will still remain tahir, but it will not be mutahir. It will not be something that can be used to purify something in the Sharia. It is tahir, pure, but it will not be mutahir, so it is not tahur. The water we should use for wudu must have its color retained, its smell retained, and its taste retained. When you put Dettol in it, you destroy that water. The same thing, ghusl janaba. Don't put Dettol in your ghusl janaba. Don't put Dettol in the water for ghusl janaba. Don't put Dettol in the water for wudu for the sake of Allah. Yes, the water is still pure, but it is not in any way able to purify another thing, Shur'an. Because the water that is pure and purifying must have those three things that we have mentioned. Once any one of them is violated, you cannot use that water for wudu, neither can you use that water for ghusl. I hope that it is clear. If you want to cure a rash that you have, treat rash as rash. Treat rash as rash. But as for wudu and ghusl, they have their own conditions. And the water must not be called Dettol. Allahu alam. Now you can come on, Abu Amir.
Jazakumullah khan.
Ameen.
So I have three questions I want to combine here.
Now,
talking about CCTV. So can we place them in schools where they can monitor the students in classes and also malls? And the third one says, putting it in maybe the house where the person is aware that there's a CCTV camera, just to, you know, make the person aware that I'm watching.
Well, in the first two cases, I think those are cases of security. They appear like more like cases of security. Like we said, there's usually a clean line between spying and being cautious. Mounting the CCTV cameras for security purposes are allowed. They are allowed. In fact, they can be compulsory in some situations. But using them in any way that check it, does it not amount to spying? Be sincere in your analysis. If it's amounting to spying, then don't use it. Because the Quran prohibits tajassus, spying. It also prohibits tahassus, stealing to listen to the words and conversations of people. So that's why you cannot use apps on people's phone that will make you be able to listen to them. The Sharia prohibits that. If it is people of evil and fisk, you know these people. This is how they are. Yes, and there is a criminal case and all of this. But police and security agencies know how to do that. They will get everything they want. But a husband doing that to the wife or the wife doing that to the husband by way of spying to know whether the husband wants to marry all of these or the wife, all of these. People should not go to the extent of spying like this. There's always a difference between what is lawful is in precautions. Spying is unlawful. So it will now need to be determining in every situation what is the aim and the actual thing that actually happens in each of these. When people go to malls, they steal. So likely we say this is security. When in schools, we know how schools have become. Teachers will not be teaching when they are supposed to be teaching. So these kinds of things, the teacher will know, hey, I'm watched. Sometimes you have stores people who should sell something will do what they want. Yes, these kinds of, hey, look, you are watched. These ones will fall largely in the aspects of caution and security. But in the issues where, when well looked at and thought about it, apply or implies spying, then we should stop it. I think this is the basic rule. We can employ it by ourselves in the various situations. Allahu Alam. Abu Amir, we have the time spent already. Can we stop here today?
Okay. There was just one question. The person was
Go ahead.
Okay. So I have evidence in my wife cheated a few times recently. What should be done? I have evidences. My wife cheated, like had an extramarital affair recently. What should be done? Should I divorce her? Please help is needed urgently. She's currently begging, but I'm confused.
What do you mean by evidence? There are only two evidences that the Sharia recognizes. The first is self, that a person confesses to that evil. May Allah protect each and every one of us. This is the first evidence. A man or a woman says he has done this. That man or woman must not be under a duress, not under alcohol and all of this. The person is sane, sound and healthy. Then the person says, I have done this, or he has done that, she has done that. May Allah protect each and every one of us. That is one evidence. The other, they find four people who will give evidence of seeing the man actually having evil with the woman. So this is what the Sharia recognizes as evidence. Then it means he has evidence. If any one of these happens, it means he has evidence. Then the question is, what should I do? I think this is not a 1 minute question. Go back to your teachers in your locality, those you are you relate with. It's supposed to be they will ask you questions, you advise appropriately. But in the Sharia, if it were in the Sharia practicing community where the hudud, the legal punishments are, men will be stoned to death. If it were a man, the man would be stoned to death. May Allah protect each and one, everyone. One of the things you find in the hikmah of the Sharia regarding that punishment is that if it were possible that people who are given to adultery stop, they might have been forgiven by Allah. Just like a young girl unmarried who commits this evil. Yes, they are flogged and then they are sent away for a year. Perhaps when the boy gets married, girl gets married, they stop evil. But a married person who has a lawful means to this relationship, then he begins to seek it unlawfully as a man. He has two wives, three wives, and so on. Or the husband, a woman has a husband, she goes about in all of these evils, and it is proven. If it were in the community of Sharia, punishment will be employed on her. These kinds of questions will not arise. We'll say the person should approach constituted authority and all of these. Allahu Alam. I will advise the brother in his own case to meet his elders, people he listens to, people who talk to him, people who give him advice, to advise him more appropriately. But as far as the legal aspects of the matter, this is what you have heard. May Allah prohibit all of us from this evil.
I mean.
Can we stop here, Abu Amir?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.